If you have your Bibles tonight, find, if you would, Psalm 25. Psalm 25 will be our text for our study this evening. I want to take tonight and, Lord willing, prepare you for the upcoming months. I don't know about you, but I feel the rush of fall. I don't have a active Facebook account, but that doesn't keep me from stalking. And I am a self-confessed Facebook stalker. And most of the time I'm stalking the people that call Plantation Baptist Church their home. I enjoy keeping up with what you're doing and going on. And one of the ladies of our church put on Facebook yesterday, which is a Saturday, that they were at the Sawgrass Mills Mall. Now, if there's anything that's close to hell, it would have to be the Sawgrass Mills on a Saturday. But I could feel the rush of getting ready for the school year and all that's going on. And I was pressed in my spirit to take tonight and kind of preach a message on waiting on God. The theme of waiting on God really and truthfully is the title of spending the day with God. I think there is some misconception on what it means to spend the day with God. I think there's some tremendous motivation from the Bible on why we need to learn to wait upon the Lord. I read you a couple of verses that have tremendous promise when it comes to the subject of waiting upon the Lord. David wrote one of them. Isaiah wrote the other one. They're not in Psalm 25. I'll just read them to you. David said this: "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Isaiah, also writing on the subject of what it is to wait upon the Lord, writes these words: "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." It's interesting that David picks up on the word strength and Isaiah picks up on the word strength. "Waiting upon that shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk, and they shall not faint." I do believe that one of the great blessings of learning on how to wait upon the Lord is the blessing of the strengthening of our heart, the strengthening of our spirit. It's an ability not to faint and to go forward. You know, I have found that, and I am learning, the longer I pastor, the dangers of something called stress. I'm watching people allow stress to impact them in such a way that it's causing physical problems. I'm watching stress come into families, into marriages, and into homes, and into jobs, and when stress is injected into our life somehow, it's amazing how very few people know what to do with stressful lives. I got news for you. The world is busy, but the whole world is not stressed out. Misery loves. So what we do is we kind of come to this mindset that we just think, well, I'm stressed out. The whole world must be stressed out. And so that's just how we're going to live, is a stressed out life. I got news for you. Nowhere in the Bible where you ever read where Jesus is insufficient to help us in the stress of our lives. And we've got a lot of God's people that are allowing the press of life and the speed of life. And as we are approaching the school day and as we're approaching all of that, it just ramps up and ramps up. A couple things here. I'm trying to be a little bit counseling tonight as far as also preaching. It amazes me how heavy getting behind is on a person's life. I.e., if you owe money and you're not paying a debt, you have every intent of paying the debt until the balance owed gets real heavy. And then it's almost like the balance owed sucks any hope out of the future. And so what happens is the weight of that balance just gets so heavy that we just think there's just nothing I can do. And if we get behind, I've watched people get so far behind in their Bible reading, they just stop reading their Bible. Or so far behind in their church attendance that they just stop coming to church. Or so far behind in how they do this that the mass of being behind weights them in a way where they just give up. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things which are, we press forward to the mark. And so I believe that it is imperative for our strength and for our blessing and for our going forward that we learn what it is to wait upon the Lord. Most people think that waiting upon the Lord is just sitting still, doing nothing, and almost just a dismissal of responsibility and of circumstances to the Lord's hand. There is a mental thought process that is able to divide. Here's how we think. Well, I'm just going to dismiss this to the Lord. I'm sick of carrying it, and whatever happens, happens. Let me tell you something. That's not waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is surrendering to the Lord from a position of faith, not fretting or forgetfulness or just dumping. Most of God's people, we think we're waiting on the Lord, but we're not. We're just lazy. Sorry about that. We're lazy. We're tired. We're hurt. We're exhausted. We're frustrated. We're mad. So, you just handle it. No, that's not waiting on the Lord. There is a tremendous blessing in the security of knowing how to wait on the Lord. And we find this in Psalm 25. In Psalm 25, David is writing. And David is going to give us the meaning, what it means to wait upon the Lord. And then he's also going to give us some motivation. And you're going to find that as you learn how to wait upon the Lord moment by moment in your day, you will begin to spend your days with the Lord. You will begin to know a fellowship and a communion and a union and a walk with God that you never dreamed was possible. And so he writes this chapter, and really and truthfully, if you have a study Bible, Or underneath the words Psalm 25, my Bible, Thompson Chain Bible, says this: David's confidence in prayer. He prays for help in his affliction. So Psalm 25 is a prayer that David is offering. In the midst of this prayer that David is offering, it's a prayer of confidence, of waiting upon the Lord. He's going through tremendous agony and tremendous difficulty. Matter of the fact, if you look at verse number 18, right smack in the middle of that verse, you find the word pain. Pain is a nasty yet valuable sense to the human body. I guess as long as you can feel pain, you're alive. As long as you feel pain, you recognize you're headed down a wrong road. But I have seen pain come into the midst of a person's life and become the domination of that life. And even a believer that is in pain is capable of doing things that they would not do apart from pain. And so David finds himself in pain. Yet, even in this pain, he's waiting on the Lord. He's strong. Now, it took some activity from David. It took some understanding. And if you, the first eight verses, David is going to give us the meaning of what it is to wait upon the Lord. He uses the word wait three times in this chapter. If you got a pen, you ought to circle it in verse number 3. You ought to circle it in verse number 5. And you ought to circle it in verse number 21. Three times. The word here, if you have, I don't know if you've looked it up before or not, it's a word that talks about an act of faith. It's not necessarily a passive word. It's an active word. It's not sitting on your blessed assurance, twiddling your thumbs, angry at God, describing your waiting. It's an expectation. It's a hope. It's an understanding. It's a position of trust. And so David is going to give us what it means to wait upon the Lord. The first one's found in verse number 1. Unto thee, say those next two words. O Lord, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. This is an important statement from David because it expresses David's desire. His whole desire in his life is to the Lord. If I'm going to wait upon the Lord, then the Lord must become the desire of my life. Now, it's interesting what part of David's physical creation that he's lifting to the Lord. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my, say it, soul. The soul of a man is the Greek word psuche. When you were created body, soul, and spirit, your soul is your emotion, it's your mind, it's your will, it's your intellect, it's your personality. It is you that God created as an individual. When Adam sinned in the garden, the soul of man became condemned. The soul of man came under the leadership, no longer of the spirit, the way that Adam was created, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That was Adam being created a spirit, and man became a living soul. And until Adam chose to sin against God, the soul of Adam was under the leadership of the spirit. When sin came and the spirit died, soul was left to the leadership of the flesh. And so my mind, my emotion, my will, my intellect, my personality has a natural bent toward the flesh. That's why you're always wrestling with your thoughts. That's why you're always wrestling with yourself. And the Bible says when we get saved, there's this contrary spirit. David said, I'm going to wait upon the Lord. I'm going to lift my soul. My soul, my mind, my will, my intellect is going to become, that must have a desire for God. Go, if you would, to Psalm 42. Hold your hand here so you can see these verses here. We sang this morning. This is how God puts this together. Verse number 1. As the heart... That's the deer, by the way. You South Floridians don't know what that is, but it's a little animal on four legs. Tastes really good. Amen. I heard that. Praise God. Pastor Jane, I know we've had our share. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my, what class? Soul. My soul thirsteth for God. For the living God, when shall I come and appear? Now look at verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Wait a minute now. His soul was thirsting for God. His soul was longing for God. Why would the soul be cast down? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in, say his name, God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. David is suffering here from a depressive state in his soul. If you go to verse number 11, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And so David knew what it was to battle his soul. And there were moments when that soul longeth after God. There were moments when that soul was cast down. And the reason for that, and the difference in that, was the leadership of that soul. And so David said, if I'm going to wait upon God, if I'm going to know his strengthening, I've got to lift my soul to the Lord. And in my mind, in my intellect, in my will, the Lord has to be my desire. How is that going to get there? It gets there through the reading of God's word. It gets there as I am spirit-filled. It is imperative, if you're going to spend the day with God, that you're spirit-filled for the day. You cannot neglect the fullness of the Spirit of God, which provides leadership. Your soul is to come behind the Spirit. And as the Spirit is leading, it is lifting the soul to the desire of God. Otherwise, when problems come, your soul is going to go depressive. It's going to plummet. It's going to go. So, Pastor, I read my Bible and I prayed before I left the house. I got to work and I exploded. What happened? You didn't learn what it was to wait upon the Lord. You don't understand the meaning of that. Just because you go through some 5-minute little order or process doesn't mean that you're prepared for the day. There must be the act of the fullness of the Spirit of God. There's that must be that desire. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. Oh, my God. What is that word? Trust. I trust in thee. To wait upon God is to have a dependence upon him. There's a desire toward him, but there's also a dependence upon God. Not I trust the good mood of my boss. Not I trust if I've got enough money to buy school clothes. Not if I trust if I can pay my bills. Not if I can trust that it doesn't rain. Oh my God, I trust in thee. If you're gonna know and understand what it is to be strengthened and wait upon the Lord and spend the day with God, then God has to be your trust. And by the way, he's trustworthy. He goes on to say, Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. A person that's waiting upon the Lord, God is the desire of my soul. He's the desire of my life. He's the dependence of my life. Look, if you would, at verses 3 and 4. He's also the devotion of my life. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait. How, class? Not just with coffee. Pastor, first thing I do before I get out of bed is pray. Then I go to work and cuss everybody out. Don't get out of bed. Pastor, I'm good as long as I'm at my little table or on my knee. But when I get out there, well, what good is here if it doesn't work out there? By the way, Jesus works everywhere. David said, I wait all the day long. So if all the day long I'm not secure in the strengthening of his presence, I'm not doing something right. There's the devotion to God. That's what it means to wait upon him. Look at all of those requests in verse 4. Show me, teach me, lead me. That's what it means to be devoted to him. Verses 5 to 9 talk about it, or 6 to 9 talk about a delight in God. Remember, O Lord. That was such a great song today, Jay and Amy sang. We should have them sing it again. They'd have to do it Acapulco. I don't think Jeff's here tonight. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth. Man, I'm glad God doesn't remember the sins of my youth. Nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Now, what are the next three words? Good and upright is the Lord. You know, the psalmist had a delight in God. A delight in God that came after he had a devotionist and a dependence and a desire. And so, to David, every day was a day when God's good and uprightness, and that he would teach me in the way. And there was this delight upon the Lord. Pastor, I hate going to work. Well, put your delight in the Lord and go to work. Pastor, I'm beginning to hate my home. I'm beginning to hate my marriage. I'm beginning to hate this or that. I'm beginning to be just the weight of being behind, and all this burden is upon me. Well, listen, put your delight in the Lord. He will never disappoint you. When you're disappointed, it's because you've got your delight somewhere else. Your expectation is somewhere else. God, you want me to have this job? Great. If you don't, great. But I'm delighting in you. God, if you want me to have this money, great. If not, I'm delighting in you. God, if you want me here, but I don't care, God. I'm delighting in you. And what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? It doesn't mean to just dismiss your circumstances to Him. It means that He's the desire of your heart. That you're dependent upon Him. You're devoted to Him. He's the delight in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This doesn't come naturally. You don't wake up and go about your day with these things dominating your day. I read, it's not ordained in the Bible, but I read it here. David's confidence in what class? Prayer. Look under Psalm 25 of your Bible. Does your Bible have that? I'm going to come down here and look. You got that? Do you see that? David's confidence in prayer. So how does God become my desire, my dependence, my devotion, and my delight? You have to spend time with Him. Purposeful, meaningful time. That's what it means to wait upon the Lord. Verse number 9 begins the motives, the blessing of what it is to wait upon the Lord. And I'm just going to go through here and pick these out, and we'll be done in just a few minutes. It'll take us down to verse number 21. Listen to all of the motives and blessings to a life that is waiting upon the Lord. What it is to spend the day with Him. These are the things, the blessings that will be part of your day. Verse number 9. The meek will He, what's that word? Guide. In judgment, the meek will He teach His way. I don't know about you, but I need guidance. I need to be taught. How securing it is to know that I can wait upon the Lord for Him to guide me. I don't know about you, but I visit Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 all the time. I go to God and I say, now God, You said if I acknowledge You, You would direct all my paths. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say to these people. I don't know where to go. But You said if I acknowledge You, You would do it. So I'm trusting You to guide me. And then when I get through that process, God guides me. And by the way, He knows the way better than I know the way. Awe. Verse number 10. The paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Fascinating. All His paths are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. He comes on down here in verse number 14. I love this. Actually, go back to verse number 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Now watch this. His soul shall dwell at what? Ease. His soul. There is a difference in your spirit being at unrest and your soul being at unrest. If you've ever noticed that in your life, say amen. There are times when my spirit is just pricked. man, I said something of Beverly I shouldn't have said. That happened this week. That's why I'm sensitive to it. Or I've done something and I feel the pricking of the Spirit. Or there's another way when my spirit is not at rest about a decision that I'm at, and I just don't have peace about that decision. And I can feel it when my spirit is, but I've also learned what it is for my soul to be unrest. Normally, when my spirit is at unrest, it's an unrest for something that deals with faith. Either God wants me to respond to something I've done wrong, or he wants me to trust him in something I don't understand. When my soul is unrest, it's usually filled with fear. I've learned what it is for the spirit to quiet me, but I know what it is for my flesh to rage and my mind and my intellect to start figuring everything out. And I'm just so full of, I don't know. And I have a habit of pacing. Does anybody else have a habit of pacing? Women, married ladies, when your husband's on the telephone, does he pace and talk at the same time? I do this. I walk all over the house. I just can't sit down and talk on the telephone. But I know what it is. The promise to the person that waits upon the Lord is that his soul shall dwell at ease. I don't know about you, but that's a precious promise. He goes on, verse number 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Do you sometimes ever come into a situation where you feel like because you know the Lord, you know a secret? So everybody's, they send out the notices and you've got a chance to be laid off. And you might lose your job. But in your heart, you're thinking, I didn't get this job. God gave it to me. If God wants me to keep it, he'll let me keep it. If he wants me to lose it, I'll lose it. That's your soul being at ease. Amen? The secret things of God, that he's the supreme authority, that his will is perfect, that his way is perfect, those things belong to us. Verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. That net is a snare. Man, you want to wait upon the Lord because you don't know which way to walk. You don't know which decision to make. You don't know what's dangerous or not. You don't know who's on your side or not. But when I wait upon the Lord, he knows all of that. Turn unto me was the request of David. And have mercy upon me. For I am desolate and I am afflicted. Just because you're going to wait on the Lord doesn't mean you don't have problems. It just means that in the midst of your desolation and in the midst of your affliction, your soul can be at ease. Please tell me you're not discouraged when you have problems. We're not all stressed out, but we all have problems. Amen. If you're married, if you have children, we all have problems. Problems to a believer, a problem is an opportunity. You got to see it that way. God will send problems in your life for an opportunity wise. Either it's an opportunity for you to make sure you're right with the Lord. Lord, this came into my life. I was headed this way. This is here. Did I do something wrong? Am I being chastened of you, God? If I did something wrong and I'm being chastened, I want to forgive. I want to confess that and forgive that and go on. If there's nothing pricking in your spirit and you honestly have done nothing wrong, but a problem's developed in your life, then that's an opportunity for God to show himself strong on your behalf. Why in the world, if you call Jesus Christ your Savior, who is the all-powerful God, would we worry about problems? We all have them. But I'm watching problems stack on problem on problem on problem. And we're just bearing underneath of this. And we're not waiting upon the Lord. And then the worst thing you want to do when you're in the middle of a problem is try to take control. Keep going. 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Watch this. look upon mine affliction and my path. I'm so glad that God has eyeballs. I love His hand because it's powerful. I love His heart because it's tender. But I love those eyeballs because they see my need. And David said, now, look upon my affliction. He's waiting upon the Lord. He's not punching them in the face. He's not drinking and taking medication. And he's, look upon my affliction and my pain. Forgive all my sins. He wants to make sure he's right with you, God. I love verse number 19 because it talks about the knowledge of, consider mine enemies, for they are many. They hate me with cruel hatred. I hope I'm not hated like that. If I am, don't tell me about it. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Read it out loud, those last part of that verse. Now, here we go. For I wait on thee. God, you are my desire. God, you are my dependence. You are my devotion. You are my delight. And I'm going to wait upon you. And the verses I read at the beginning said, they that wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle and run and not be weary, not and walk and not faint. The strengthening of God's people is learning how to wait upon the Lord, how to spend the day with Him. Not just a few moments in the beginning, but the whole entire day that'll be blessed by Him. I pray you remember this. I pray as we head to the busyness of the season that your soul is at ease. I would ask you even now, is your soul at ease? Is your spirit at ease? Are you saved? Say amen. Amen. Then your soul should be at ease waiting upon the Lord. Shall we pray?